Okay, church family, we are in week four of our five-week series, Influencers, and we have tackled topics like passion for souls and boldness to speak and a readiness to pray. And so this week, we focus on a knowledge of the Word of God. Our scripture comes from Acts chapter 18, verses 18 to 28. I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 18, verses 18 to 28. Let's read together in one voice. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. And before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchreae because of a vow he had taken. And they arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." And then he set sail from Ephesus. And when he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. And when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. And when he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Let's pray together. Father, today we thank you for the scripture in Acts 18, and we ask that you teach us from the life of this man named Apollos. He appears in scripture, is there just for a few chapters, and then disappears. And we wonder, what impact did he make? I believe, Lord, that he made a big difference in your kingdom, that he was an able teacher of your word. He had a passion for meditating on your word day and night and knowing and internalizing the word of God so that it's ready upon his lips at any given time. Father, in a day and time where people will take the word of God and manipulate it to make it move along with their opinions, Father, I pray today that we would be men and women of the word who place the word of God and give it priority over our opinions, over our thoughts, and over our feelings. Let the word of God be the truth that guides our lives. So, Father, today I'm praying, Lord, that your word would not just be words on a sheet of paper, but Father, that your word will come alive through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the text before our very eyes, and we will understand, and we will know, and we will comprehend that we will not only be hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the word. So Father, this morning we ask for your blessing. Lord, I need your help to preach your word with faithfulness and with boldness. So, Father, equip me to do the task that you've called me to do, to serve your people best. And we ask for your blessing together. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You may be seated. The Acts of the Apostles tells us that there were two dominant disciples, dominant apostles, actually, Peter and Paul. Both of them were called by Jesus. Both of them had an encounter with him. But there was a man whose influence was still underestimated, and his name is Apollos of Alexandria. He was a contemporary of these two apostles, and he enters the history out of the early church, really out of nowhere. In a previous series on the book of Hebrews, I shared with you that it's perhaps likely that Apollos might be the unnamed author of the book of Hebrews, having spent a lot of time with Paul and being a learned man. And though the Bible gives us limited information about his life and about his ministry, I believe Apollos played a pivotal role as what? An influencer, because of his knowledge of the Word of God. So this morning, we're going to jump right in. I want to share three ways influencers handle God's Word. By studying the life and the ministry of Apollos, his example in Acts 18, 18 to 28. First point I want to share with you this morning is to know the Word of God accurately. You need to know the Word of God accurately. We read of this in verse 24 to 25. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. See, it is no surprise that Apollos was a learned man because he came from Alexandria, Egypt, which was the very epicenter of knowledge. Greeks were known for rhetoric and literature. Romans were known for politics and government. But Alexandria was known for their education and their knowledge. The city was home to the great library of Alexandria, one of the largest in the world and the most significant libraries in the ancient Near Eastern world. And at the same time, Alexandria was a second home for the Jewish diaspora. It is approximated that about 35% of the population of the city were Jewish. Previously in Acts 6, we saw Jews from Alexandria as part of the synagogue of the freedman arguing with a deacon named Stephen, ultimately leading to the stoning of Stephen by the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7. The beginning of verse 25 tells us that Apollos had been instructed in the ways of the Lord. And this implies that there was a teacher and a student relationship. It could be a formal relationship, or it could be an informal religious education. And just as the Apostle Paul studied under the teacher, the rabbi Gamaliel, Apollos likely studied under the tutelage of some great Alexandrian Jewish rabbi. But certainly, he would have been well-versed in the Old Testament scriptures. He would know the scriptures in and out. He would have likely memorized the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. And this Jewish background would grant him the access and the authority to speak and to be heard in the local synagogues. Apollos was not only Jewish, but he became a Christian. He was a Jewish Christian. And at some point, he was introduced to the baptism of John the Baptist. In Acts 19, verses 1 to 6, the Apostle Paul taught a dozen Ephesian disciples about the difference between two types of baptism. There is John's baptism in water, and then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, and there he found some disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And while Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Man, that's awesome. See, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist, he himself made the distinction that he baptized in water for repentance, but Jesus would baptize with fire for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, Apollos had repented and he had become new in Jesus Christ. The old had gone and the new had come. However, he had not yet experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there was a limitation to all that he had been taught. There's a limitation to his capacity to teach. And even though he was very accurate and fervently preaching the gospel and leading people to salvation in Jesus, he could not preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he had not experienced it himself. So let me take a moment and say this morning that there are a lot of Apollos in Christianity. There's a lot of Apollos in church. And I'm referring to people who place an emphasis on the Word of God, but have not yet encountered the Spirit of God in that powerful way. And we as Pentecostals, we have traditionally erred in the opposite direction by emphasizing the work of the Spirit of God instead of elevating the Word of God. But I believe that WPA is a kind of church that places equal emphasis on the Word and on Spirit. Amen? Nevertheless, it is important that we reiterate only that which God has already said. I think of the prophet Ezekiel. He's a peculiar prophet. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, illustrated what it meant to have a hunger for the Word of God. Scripture says, "And he said to me," that is Ezekiel, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. And then he said to me, "Son of man, eat the scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. And he then said to me, "Son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them." You see, the Word of God, this scroll that Ezekiel ate, was like living bread. It was like living water. It was the very words of God digested into his body. And those who digest it regularly discover the power and they discover the promises of God within it. And it was Jesus who refuted the devil in Matthew 4:4 when he said, "It is written, Satan, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." How do you know what God's saying? How do you know what's in the mouth of God? You meditate on the Word of God. It's really simple. My prayer today is that each of you would be like Apollos and that you would know the Word of God with great accuracy, that you would memorize it and you'd be able to bring it to remembrance, that you would declare the truth of it in your generation. The Lord God would want to put his word in your heart so that you will not sin against him. The Word of God would love to put the Word of God in your hands so that as you walk the path that he's called you to walk, it will illuminate your path for you. So know the Word of God accurately today. Second point this morning is share the Word of God more adequately. Verse 26, listen to the scripture. "He began to speak boldly in their synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately." As we said earlier, Apollos could preach the gospel. He knew about Jesus Christ. He was experienced the water baptism, but we get the sense that he could not adequately preach about the Holy Spirit. And it was not that the Holy Spirit was not residing in him. It was that the Holy Spirit had not yet baptized him. There's a difference between those two things. See, when you come to faith in Jesus, the Spirit of Christ comes and lives within you because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is where the Spirit of God resides within us. But see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is an evidence that is shown. That evidence is the gift of tongues and the demonstration of spiritual gifts distributed among all of us. We cannot be satisfied with leading people just to salvation. That's not enough. See, some of us, we just want to get as many people through the kingdom of heaven. Hey, just get in, just barely get in. The goal is to actually bring them fully into the kingdom. And how we do that is by seeing that there's more than just salvation. Yes, salvation is essential to having faith in Jesus Christ, but we need to provide believers with the next steps in their discipleship walk. We need to provide teaching on water baptism. We need to provide teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to provide teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to provide teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Apollos had been taught, but realized that he still needed more teaching. Isn't that like us? We have not reached the plateau of what we can be, what we can learn when it comes to the Bible and the Word of God. There is so much more that we can grow. This is where a godly couple named Priscilla and Aquila come into the picture. They are not to be confused with another couple named Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit and were struck dead in Acts chapter 5. You see, this godly couple, they were Italians. They were Italian Jewish Christians. They must have had some good pasta back there. And the Apostle Paul, he met them in Corinth and he traveled with them to Ephesus, where he left them and where they then met this man named Apollos. Acts 18:3 tells us that they were tent makers, like the Apostle Paul, by profession. They worked during the day. They had this profession. They worked hard for the little money that they earned. The Apostle Paul would later send his greetings to them in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19, while they were still residing in Ephesus. See, Aquila and Priscilla became a spiritual father and a spiritual mother to Apollos. And we all need an Aquila or a Priscilla in our lives, sometimes even both. And these are mentors who then not just mentor you from afar or not just eat dinner with you. These are mentors who open the Word of God with you and explain it to you so that you might understand it and so that you might share it more adequately. In order to do this, first, we need to exhibit some kind of hospitality. Hospitality is really hard right now in the midst of this pandemic, but I want you to think beyond this. There's creative ways we can do this. See, for Aquila and Priscilla, the kind of mentoring required that they open their home to Apollos. This was a complete stranger. They knew nothing about him. This is the first time they're meeting him, and they're inviting him into their home. Coming from Alexandria, he likely did not have a place of his own to stay. And we know that in the Bible, hospitality towards strangers was a standard behavior for those living in the ancient Near Eastern Greco-Roman world. So eating together, talking together, it removed all the barriers. You can just imagine them eating spaghetti together. Perfect. Perhaps the modern version is taking somebody out for a coffee or treating someone to a lunch or even having someone over at your house for dinner. And I know we can't do that easily right now, but there are ways that we can become creative and do that and have a Zoom call and connect over the phone and have a text message chat. We can do it. Second, we need to offer our time to explain biblical truths. See, Aquila and Priscilla would need to listen to the way Apollos interpreted the scriptures. They would need to open the Old Testament and then recall the teachings of Jesus to show him that there was so much more than what he had previously learned. There's no limit to what you can know about God. In particular, Apollos seemed to be lacking, again, in his understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. They would need to teach him what they themselves had been taught. In the words of the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11:23, we often read this at communion when we partake in the Lord's Supper together. The scripture says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." We can only give to others what we have received. And we should not only want to give people the saving part of Christianity, we should want to help people understand and enjoy all the benefits of Christianity. That includes the work of the Holy Spirit. That starts with each of us having an adequate understanding for ourselves. And then the only way we can come to that place is through godly mentorship. We need people in our lives who will pour into us the Word of God. And we should not only be mentored, but we should become mentors ourselves. If you want to begin a relationship like that, look inside this church. Reach out to Pastor Kim, and she will help you connect with someone and form a new discipleship pair. And that way, iron can sharpen iron. Lastly, today, defend the Word of God apologetically. defend the word of God apologetically. We see this in verses 27 to 28. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. And when he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. See, Apollos was a unique guy. He ministered inside the church, and he also ministered outside the church, in the marketplace, in the synagogue, in the public square. He was a great preacher. He was a great teacher, but he was also an apologist. Let's look at a few things here. Two groups that composed his audience. The first group was Gentile Christians, and you will observe that, like the Apostle Paul, Apollos first went to the synagogue in Ephesus. That was his first step. That was his tradition. Go first to the synagogue, then go to the next place. And it was not yet clear to Apollos that Gentiles could be saved, not having to become Jews in order to become Christians. This was a journey for many of these Jewish Christians. This was an apologetic issue about ecclesiology, which is a big word that just simply means the doctrine, what we believe about the church and how it's composed and who gives leadership and who belongs. The Apostle Peter had come to the conclusion of inclusion in Acts chapter 11. James, the brother of Jesus, and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem came to this conclusion of inclusion in Acts chapter 15. And it became clear that Apollos had come to the same conclusion of inclusion by the end of Acts 18. See, Apollos wanted to leave Ephesus, and he wanted to go to Achaia. In 1 Corinthians 16:12, the Apostle Paul tells the church in Corinth, "Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers, and he was quite unwilling to go, but he will go when he has the opportunity." There was something holding him back from going to that place. And it's probably the reality that there were Jewish Christians there. What we read in Acts 18:27 is a change of heart. And here's my hunch. My hunch is that Apollos was not comfortable visiting and spending time with these Gentile Christians, and he was only comfortable hanging out with Jewish Christians. But something happened in his life. There was a transformation. There was a new ideology that he received. And it happened to Apollos in Ephesus while under the mentorship and the teaching of Priscilla and Aquila. His heart was opened. He said yes to what he had formerly said no to. And while we do not read it explicitly, we implicitly see evidence of a spiritual transformation that can only be credited to the Holy Spirit and his work within Apollos. Apollos was not just a knowledgeable man. He was a changed man. The church in Achaia, along with the church in Macedonia, were known for being such generous churches. Though they had very little, they gave very much. And they were recognized as an example among all the churches for their contribution to the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. And Apollos would meet in Achaia the Gentile Christians that the Apostle Paul mentions in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 16:15. "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia." And he would go and he would continue his ministry among people like Stephanas and many others. The second group I want you to see are these hostile Jews. Apollos moved from speaking boldly in the synagogue in verse 26 to then refuting his Jewish opponents in public debate in verse 28. And by this, I don't mean contemporizing it and talking about Facebook debates. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking one-to-one in the public square, though. Such debates was a characteristic of the culture of Epicurean and Stoic philosophy. But the Hellenistic Jews, these were Jews that adopted the Greek culture, were fighting with Apollos and trying to refute him, thinking they knew the scriptures better than he did. See, apologetics is not a flaunting of intellectual or a persuasion of speech, but a faithful handling of the scripture to defend the truth. And truth is not relative. to a person's ideology or to a school of thought. It is revealed to us in the Word of God. If you want to know what truth is, just open the Bible. That's truth. So therefore, we must know the Word of God so well that we can make a sensible argument before unbelievers for truth and against heresy. We need to know the Word of God thoroughly, friends. We just can't know John 3:16. It ain't gonna carry you through life. It's important scripture, but you need to know all of it. You need to memorize it and hide it in your heart. Earlier in Acts 18, verse 5 to 8, the Apostle Paul had a similar experience in Corinth. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul had devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. See, this was the main issue for these Jews. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul, they became abusive. He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And then Paul left the synagogue, and here's what he did. Listen to this. This is awesome. He went next door. He went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. And Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. See, if they don't want to hear it, there's always somebody who wants to hear it. The hostility was great, but guess what, friends? God's purpose was greater. And God will put us in a position to make an apologetic defense for the sake of the salvation of one person or one family or one household. In Paul's case, it was Crispus and his entire household. In Apollo's case, we don't know who believed that day, but we are confident that people in Ephesus, that people in Achaia came to faith through his ministry. So looking forward, I want to let you know that I think it's important for us to navigate this topic of apologetics. I've already mapped out a sermon series for us called Are You Sure? Apologetics. And I've mapped it out for June 2021. See, every believer should be able to make a basic defense for the Christian faith. And if you cannot, you need to become a better student of God's Word. Be mentored by mature people in the faith and allow the Holy Spirit to work within you and illuminate the scripture to you. As we conclude this morning and the worship team prepares to come, the Apostle Paul, he recognized Apollos as a leading influencer. And unfortunately, those whom they influenced began to divide the church in Corinth into 2 to 3 camps. Personalities were taking the spotlight instead of the primacy of God's word. People were following people instead of people following Christ. And I want to conclude this morning with one final scripture taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 to 9. And the scripture says, "For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings? What after all is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service." See, those who were influenced did not really fully understand whose influence they were really under. It was not about Paul. It was not about Apollos. Friends, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God's word. It's all about God's word changing us. You and I cannot change anyone, but God's word can transform someone from the inside out. And we are simply seed sowers and plant waterers that partner with God in his vineyard, in his garden. We read the word. Pastors preach and teach the word, but God changes lives. This morning, I have several Bibles here with me, several Bibles in different translations. And what I love about the Bible is it doesn't matter how big, like some of these ones, they are, or how small they are. While there are many opinions about choice of translation out there, Pentecostals generally use the NIV. Some of us grew up, we were reading the New King James Version, or here's the New King James Version. Other people have chosen maybe a more neutral path. Maybe you've chosen something more literal and direct, the ESV version of the Bible. Some people love the NLT. Where's my NLT? This is given by my in-laws. They gave this to me when I became a pastor. Here's my NLT. It's easy to read. It's simple, and it flows like a conversation. And then there's other translations, many, many more. Here's a Christian Standard Bible, a Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's very thorough, very deep, very meaningful. And all these are good translations. But what I love about the Bible is it doesn't matter what translation you read. Yes, there's some subtle differences in interpretation, when it comes to word selection, when it comes to sentence structure. But there's a general consistency in the various translations of Scripture. But here's what I love, again, about the Bible, is it doesn't even matter if you read a digital source or you read a physical source. We don't read God's word in vain. And his preached word does not return void. Friends, my challenge to you is to become theologically vital today. That's part of our vision here at this church, that you would develop this side of you, this theological vitality side. That my challenge to you is that you become theologically vital people by being fully immersed in the Word of God every day of your life. Every day. If we're going to be an influencer in this world today, if we're going to reach those 30 people that we have written down on our card, and if we're going to make an impact in their life, then we need to be like Apollos. We need to handle the Word of God accurately. We need to deal and preach and share the Word of God adequately. And we need to defend the Bible, the Word of God, apologetically. So are you ready to do that, friends? Are you ready this week and this month? In a few weeks, we're going to be jumping into the book of Exodus. And I'll be honest with you, often we have like 14% of our congregation participate. And that's good. I mean, that's okay. But I would love to see 80, 90, 100% of our congregation journeying together through the book of Exodus. And maybe that's your starting point. Maybe you can start today. But maybe that would be a starting point for you, that you would dedicate 2 months from February to March to read the book of Exodus with us and meditate on it. And together we'll grow, and together we'll learn and be challenged to know the Word of God. So you can memorize that, you can draw that, you can reflect on that. You can pray the book of Exodus. There's a lot of options for you, but I want to encourage you to get into God's word and do it with us as a congregation. So there's more accountability. There's a little bit more structure. There's some resources that can help you do that. We want to come alongside of you and help you become more biblically literate in these days so that the word of God would be in you and flowing through you. Let's pray.